Okay. Today I'm going to look at relational databases for a few minutes and the theory of them, which I said I was going to get back to. And then we'll go on with the Connect. But I did the Connect last Tuesday because I wanted to make sure we got that done. And I also didn't want to break up the relational database. It's easier to just do it as one segment. So, if you go to Notes and Handouts, there's a set of relational database normalization rules, and that's what we're going to start looking at. No, somebody's wiring is a little off. Okay. These are just the basics of understanding relational database, and that's all we're doing is just going over the basics. And in fact, if you had CIS 120, you hopefully got this. And you said no, but anyway. So a relationship is in first normal form if it does not contain repeating groups. Okay, so these are basically the goals, that if I set up a database that follows these rules, then I've set up a pretty good database. So I start out by saying I can't have repeating groups. Okay, so again, the problem is, let's say I have a student database, and I put the student, and I want to keep track of all of the courses they take. So I therefore set up on the student base a slot for each course. So I have a slot for the first course you take, a slot for the second course you take. The problem is, how many slots do I make? Okay? And if I end up making 30 slots and saying nobody takes more than 30 courses, the next day somebody's going to sign up for the 31st course and I don't have a place to put it. So that's why you can't have repeating groups. So what they would suggest instead of repeating groups in that case would be that I would have a student table and a student course table. And so the student table would have the ID of 111 or something like that. Actually, I think I'll write the fields. The student would have the ID, they would have their name, they would have their major, and they would have a lot of other things about them. And then the student course file, I would come over and I would have the student ID, so the ID is there, and then I would have the course code, okay, of the course that the student is taking. Okay, so I have the ID and the course that the student is taking, and I'm going to put a few more other things up there. But essentially what that means is I can have one record for every course you take. So there's no limit on the number of courses you take. Because every time you take a course, I'm going to put a record into the student course file. And it's going to have the student, the ID, course code is maybe not the right word for it, the course number. Okay. So it's going to have the course number, and it's going to have the date that you took the course, and it's going to have your grade or something like that. Okay? So I set that up, and I can put in there the ID, the course number, the date you put the course, and that would be something like fall 19 or spring 20. You don't have to have the exact date. Can just be the semester. I've got a link between these two, so these two link. This would be my primary key. Over in the student table, I have the ID as my primary key. On the student course table, I can't have the ID as the primary key because I want a student to take more than one course. And so if the ID is the primary key, then they can only have one record on the table. So then I say, okay, what can I combine with that to make it unique? And the first thing is course number. But the problem with that is if I have the student and the course number, then they can't take the course a second time if they flunk. Okay, there's no place to take the course a second time. They've already got their ID and the course number in there. So then you throw in the date and you say, okay, this makes a unique primary key. A student taking a course, a particular semester is unique because you can't take the same course twice in the same semester. Okay? So that makes it unique. And that makes it a primary key. So I have to sit down and devise a primary key, and that would be my primary key. People sometimes try to just put a unique number in there. I personally don't like that as much because it's one more number to keep track of. And you have to keep track of the number. I mean, when we look at it, I'm going to look at an inventory system in a few minutes. And orders usually have a unique number. But that has a reason because you have the, that provides the order number, provides the order within which the order was placed. So the first order is order one, the next order is order two, and so forth. So it does provide a purpose. So essentially you set up the primary key and you have now that have got two tables because it does not contain repeating groups. Okay? If I had tried to put course number, date, and grade over here, it would have three fields for every course that you took. But the problem with that is, again, that eventually you're going to run out of slots. Okay, how do you choose the number of slots? And eventually you're going to run out of slots. And so you just avoid repeating groups altogether by setting up a second table. Okay? Does that make sense? So a relationship is in second normal form. If it is in first normal form and no non-key attribute is dependent on only a portion of the primary key. Okay? So what that means is a relationship and no non-key attribute is dependent on only a portion of the primary key. So I can't have anything on these tables that are not directly related to the primary key. Okay, over here in the student one, the name is definitely related to the ID, the major is definitely related to the ID, and that sort of thing. Over here, grade is about that student taking that course on that date. So grade relates to the whole key. What I couldn't have on here is something like name. I couldn't have the student's name because name only relates to the ID. I couldn't have the course name because course name only relates to the course number. So I can only have things on here that relate to the whole key. I can't have anything that is related to a primary key, which is why things like name don't get to show up here because name is directly related to ID. And then if I'm having to have a course table, okay, so I'll have a course table and it's going to have the course number and the course name and the credits for the course. And whatever else you want to have, the department that the course is in, or whatever. But the primary key here is course number. Okay, so that's the primary key that uniquely identifies the course as the course number. Okay, so now I've got a relationship between the three tables, and I want to make sure that I have that relationship. Okay, so I have a relationship based on course number. The course number will link over to the course in the course table. I just drew it to course name. Sorry about that. I was avoiding primary key, I guess. So the course number links over to the course number in the course table. So I can access any data. Now, I can't just have the student table and the course table because they don't link to each other. The student table does not link to the course table, and the course table doesn't link to the student table. But when I have the student course table in there, it does provide a link. And so this table ends up being called a bridge table because it's the bridge between those two tables. Okay, it's the bridge between the two tables. And it has to be there if I'm going to link to, if I want to do linking using all three tables, then I need the bridge, okay? Because the student ID does not appear on the course table, and the course number does not appear on the student table. Okay, but the thing that brings them together is that middle table, the bridge table, that bridges the two of them and has a link to either of the other two tables. So if I want to do a report where I have the student ID, student name, student major, and then I want to have the courses and the dates and the grades, but when I have the course, I also want to include the course name and the credits. So I'm taking information from all three tables. And so I need all three tables active. And when I write the where clause in PHP or in MySQL, when I write the where clause, it's going to say from student, student course, course, and list all three of them. And then say where student ID equals student course ID and student course course num equals course course num. So it's going to link those tables all together. And then my select statement can extract data from all three tables. Okay, so I'm going to have the select clause, which extracts the data from all three tables. The from, which lists the three tables, and the where that establishes the links, which are ID to ID and course num to course num. Yes, no, maybe? Okay. And then the third one says a relationship is in third normal form if it is in second normal form, and the only determinants it contains are candidate keys. Okay, so we'll talk about determinants it contains in a minute, but candidate keys means something that could have been used as the key. And I always use social security number as the example. Your student ID is assigned to you by the college. Years ago, we used social security numbers. Not legal, but everybody did it. Okay, so we used social security numbers as the ID number. And so that would be a determinant. So if I am carrying the student's social security number, okay, that ID is, one is the key I chose. Social security number is a determinant. It's a candidate key. Sorry, I'm looking at the words. It's a candidate key. Social security number is a candidate key. So what that means is over here I have major. And let's say that I want to put out the major name, not just the major code. Okay? If I put the major name here, the problem is that major is what's determining that. Major name doesn't relate to student ID, it relates to major. So I can't put that on here, okay? Because major is a determinant, and I can't put it there. So I would have to make another table that says major, and I would say major is my primary key, that's the code, and then I can put the major name on here. Okay, so I can set up another table, and there is a link between these two tables up here. So I have to set up another table because everything has to relate to the primary key, okay? And major is a determinant. It determines what the major name is. And so I can't carry it there. So that, just following these three rules, tends to form a set of tables that make sense, just following these three simple rules. You end up getting four tables up there that make sense, okay? And the biggest problem people have is trying to stuff everything onto the same tables and trying to not have, you know, the linkage that this causes. So if you set up the data following those rules, then you really have gone a long way toward setting up a database, okay? Just following those rules. Now, I always say that designing a database is really a very important activity, because if it is designed wrong, and then people write the programs with it designed wrong, it's going to be a disaster. My husband went to work for a company at one point that has since gone out of business, and the database was one of the reasons that they went out of business. And, you know, when he started looking at the data they had, he put out his resume for another job because they had things like customer name in about five different files. You know, everything was duplicated all over again, and they've lost track of the data, because if you've got something in five different files, then when it changes, you have to fix it in all five, and you don't want that. So the only duplicate that you want is the things that you need for linking. Other than that, you don't want to link things. You don't want things. You know, if you come up with a reason why they have to be, then that's fine, but mainly you want only the things that link together to be duplicated, okay, because those tie the table together, tables together. Questions? If not, we will look at another one. I mentioned a customer and an inventory. So I've got a customer file. And I've got an inventory file. Okay, so I've got these two files. And the inventory file is going to have an item number. And it's going to have an item name. And it's going to have all kinds of things like price, cost, on hand, on order. But these all relate to the primary key. They all relate to the item number. It's what the name of the item is, the price is how much I can sell it for, the cost is what it takes to acquire it, the on hand is how many of them I have sitting on my shelf, on order is how many I've got on order. So, and I can have a load more things. I just pick some of the obvious that you would put on here. Then you have a customer file, and the customer has a customer ID. And that's going to be the primary key. And it's going to have a customer name, and it's going to have an address, and anything else you want about the customer. Okay? And this particular company does not have a walk-in clientele. It's you order it online or by the phone or something else. So there's no online. So I now have a customer that wants to place an order. Okay. So I'm going to have an order. And this is where I said frequently an order number is given. And the order number is the primary key. That they actually make up a sequential number and they keep applying it. You don't have to do it that way, but it's frequently the way it was doing. It's doing it. So there's the order number, and that's a unique number. And then I have to know who the customer is. So I put on here the customer ID, okay? So if you think about an order, up here at the top, they have the name of the customer, the address of the customer, the order number, and the date of the order, and things like that are up here at the top. And then down below, they list the items that you bought. So you have a list of the items. So now the problem is, when I say list of items, that's a repeating group. Okay? So I can't just put on the order the list of the items. And I always tell the story of an order that I placed. And when I wanted seven things. And when I got to the fifth thing, When I got to the sixth thing, I started to give it to the woman, and she said, no, you can't order anything else. And I said, but I want to. And we had a discussion about the fact that I wanted to, and she wasn't going to let me. And finally, she said, all right, and sighed and started a new order for me. Because she had in the order form, there were things set up for five different items that could be ordered. And when I asked for a sixth, there wasn't any place she could put that information. So she had to start a whole new order for me to put in the sixth and seventh items that I wanted. Okay, so you definitely want to avoid that. So you have the line items. So you have an order, and then you have the line items. And the line items are the things that I'm ordering. And so I will have what order number they go with so that I know the order that they're going to be in. I'm going to have the customer ID so that, I have the customer ID over there. I'm going to have the item number. I'm looking the wrong place. I'm going to have the order number. I'm going to have the item number, okay, which tells me what item that they ordered. And I am going to have the quantity that they are ordering. Okay, the quantity that they are ordering. And sometimes people will put on the price here, and then they call it the quoted price. So I have the quoted price there. And that's because the price on the inventory file is the price that the item is currently selling for. But when the order was placed, it might not have been that price. That price might be a very active price that changes a lot. And so I want to give the quoted price because if I quoted them a price of $5, but my inventory now said it was $5.10, so I took over the $5.10 to charge them, they're not going to be happy. So the quoted price means this is the price at the moment you ordered the inventory, and at the moment, you know, when we checked with you or you saw it online or whatever. So that's the quoted price. Okay. So on this one, my primary key can't be the order number because I want them to order multiple things. So it can be the order number plus the item number. And that can be the primary key. Okay, because that will make it unique. Now, the only problem there is if they order five of an item number and then in a few minutes they order two more, that's not going to work unless the person scrolls up and changes the five to a seven. Okay? If you think that's a problem, you can always put in a code. Include a code here that if you order it the first time, it's a one. If it comes back when you try to put it in again and says you've already ordered this, then you put a two there and so forth as you keep going. So you could jerry-rig something if it was important to your inventory system. Okay. So this basically sets up four tables that do a simple inventory where I have a customer, I have an inventory, I have order, I have line items. In reality, there's going to be a lot more tables involved because, for one thing, who do you buy this from when you acquire this? Where does it come from? Are these things you manufacture or are things you're buying externally? And then you have to know who you're buying them from. And, you know, if it is an item that you're manufacturing, then you get into a whole database about the parts and everything that go into manufacturing. So this is just a simple one of a customer, some orders, and an inventory. Questions? And it follows, a lot of it follows the rules. Because, for example, I had to make a new file for an order because I want my customers to place more than one order. And so it would end up being potentially a repeating group if they're placing a lot of orders, but I want them to do that. So by then setting up the order file as a separate file, I can have as many orders as I want. And I meant to add over here date, because I want the date of the order that the order was placed. Okay, now I started to write customer ID over here on the line item when I wasn't paying attention. I don't want the customer ID because if I go over from order to order number, then I get the customer ID, which can go over and get me the customer name and address. So I can link around and get everything. So the order goes over here, the customer ID goes over there, and then I can get that information. And the item number comes over here to the inventory table, so I can get that information. So basically, again, I've got all my tables so that I can link to all of them. Okay, and you don't want to have a table that can't be linked in because it's worthless to you if you can't link in and get the information from it. So you need to have the linking and figure out how I'm going to tie all these together. Okay. And you don't have to tie through everything. You can say, I want to have a separate file open. So I can't just, if I'm writing this order up here, I need all four of these files. Because I need to get my customer name and address from the customer file. And so I have to go over the customer file to get that. I have to get the information for the list of items down from the line items, and if I want to have the name of the item, then I need to go over and link over to get that. Questions? As I said, you should definitely at some point, either buy a book about how to design a database or take a course on how to design a database, because it's something you really should know. And we're doing, you know, the quick little 10-minute thing here, which is not terribly effective. Now, the one that you have that I did a lot of examples of, and I use a lot in my examples, is the donor database. And I have three tables for that one. I have the donor, the donations, and the drive. Okay, so the donor has a donor ID and a donor name and other information about the donor. And the donor ID is the primary key. And the drive has the drive number and the drive name. And I think I have on it what I got last year and my goal for this year. And that is set up like that. So I have my drive number, which gives me the drive name, how much I made on that drive last year, and how much I made on it this year. And then I came in here and said, okay, for donations, I need, obviously, to have the donor ID. I want to know what drive they contributed to, so I'm going to have the drive number. And I'm hoping that I can get more than one donation out of them. Okay? So I therefore am going to put in the date of the donation. Because if I had just donor ID and drive number, then a donor could only contribute to a drive once. And I want to get them contributing to my drive over and over again. And they spend all the money that I give them sending me mailings to get me to give again. So they clearly want me to give again. Okay? So these end up being the primary key. And the amount of the donation is a field that relates again to all three parts of the primary key. It's the amount that that donor gave to that drive on that date. Okay, so it relates to all three parts. It's what the donor gave to the drive on the particular date. And these all link together. So the donor ID links over here, and the drive number links up there. And again, I'm going to need that bridge table for most everything I do, because everything links into that donation. Okay, so I can't put out a list of the donor and the drives that they gave to without going through the donation table and checking to see what drives they gave to. Okay, so that bridge table becomes a real important part of this. And so that's an example that you see in my stuff quite a lot. Okay. Now, there's one other set of vocabulary words and that is the relationships between them. I can have a one-to-one relationship, a one-to-many relationship, and a many-to-many relationship. So between the two tables, between any two tables that are related, I can have a one-to-one relationship, a one-to-many, or a many-to-many. A one-to-one isn't as often but a one-to-one would be something like, I have an employee table, and I have on it the employee number and the employee name, and other non-confidential information. And then I have another employee that is employee confidential. And I have on that the employee number as the primary key. And then I have salary information. And I have appraisal, how you got appraised. Information, you know, were you given an appraisal that you were a good employee or that you needed improvement or whatever like that. And what I've done here is I've set up two employee files. One is one that everybody can have access to, that's no security on. The other one is one that I'm putting secure information that fellow employees shouldn't be able to see. And so that's a one-to-one relationship because every employee will have one record on each file, and only one record on each file. And it relates based on the employee number. So I'm doing a relationship there of one-to-one. Okay. One-to-many we saw quite a few of when we were looking at things over here. One-to-many is the relationship between donor and donations. Okay, that's a one-to-many. One donor gives many donations. So that's one of the relationships. Customer to order. One customer hopefully is placing many orders. That's one to many. And then one order is for many line items, so that's one to many. And with student and courses, one student takes many courses, so that's a one to many. Okay, so when I look at one to many, was the student, one student, many courses. One record for each donor, many donations. One order, many line items. And also one customer, many orders. So those are one-to-many relationships that we looked at. Is one student is taking many courses. So for each student, there's going to be multiple courses that they're taking usually. Doesn't have to be. One-to-one is okay. So if a student signs up for just one course, that's fine, but it's not the pattern, and it's not what I've provided. I've provided that that one student can take many courses. So my setup is to allow the one student to take many courses. Even if they've only taken one course, they're still in the setup of one to many. One donor gives many donations, one order has many line items, one customer hopefully has many orders. Okay, so that's a one-to-many relationship. Hello. And then many-to-many the one that I kind of like, the example that I kind of like, is movie. Some movie is going to have movie ID or movie number, which is going to be the primary key, and the movie name. And maybe the budget for the movie, or how much it has anyway, or the rating on the movie. A lot of information about the movie. And then you come over here and you have the stars. And I've got a star ID, and the star name, and other information about the star. Now I want to basically be able to link these. And movie is not going to link to star. And my problem is I can't over my movie put the ID of the star, because presumably there's going to be more than one star in a movie. Or at least I want to set up my database so there can be more than one star in a movie. So I can't bring the stars over here, because that won't work. And I can't print the movie ID under star, because presumably, if you are a star, you've been in more than one movie. Okay, or potentially can have been in more than one movie. So I can't carry the movie ID on the star table, and I can't carry the star ID on the movie table. So I need a bridge table. So I'm going to have my movie star, and that's going to be a bridge table. And I'm going to have the movie ID, and I'm going to have the star ID. Okay? So I've got the movie and the star. And then those two together will end up making the primary key. Okay? So if I have five stars in the movie, then I'm going to have the movie ID and the star ID up there five times, because there's five in there. And then you can have information that relates to the star being in the movie, such as salary. How much they made for being in that movie. So that tells me how much that star made for being in that movie. So if my movie ID was 111 and my star ID was 100 and the salary was whatever the salary is, and then I can have movie 111 also had person 200 and 111 also had person 300 and movie 121 had star 200. That star was in both. So I can have data like that, okay? Where I have the movie number, the star number, and the salary. And so that's data like that. And this is the many-to-many relationship. Okay. So that's the many-to-many relationship. And that's just a real pure example, because the key is just the movie and the star. Okay. Questions? Okay, so in your homework, actually, did I capture that? Yes. Is it SQL? Or haven't I put up homework? No, I guess I haven't put up homework. I didn't put up a homework. If we go back to the Oracle course, there's one there, and we'll play with that one.
So number two there.
If I have an employee ID, employee name, salary, tax percent withheld, medical withheld, other deductions withheld, those are both employee. And then I say projects the person is working on. Note there can be more than one project. And I want to know the project ID and the project name, manager of the project. And then I want to have the hours the employee worked on the project each time they worked on it. So what I'm going to ask you to do is take this and develop the tables. So you can work alone or you can work together and talk over, but come up with what you think the tables would be for this, and then we'll sketch it out. But take a few minutes and try to figure out how many tables and what's going to be on the tables. And on this one, just for simplicity, let's not split up the employee information. Let's just have all of the employee information on one table. So it can carry their tax percent, their medical, their other deductions. So carry all the employee on one table. You could break it up and have two, one confidential and one not, but let's not.
Thank you.
How many tables are you coming up with? That's what I came up with.
You come up with three different tables?
Yeah. So this is my employee table. And as I said, that could have been broken up into two, but I'm suggesting you leave that as one. So that's my employee table. Okay, so that's one of the tables. And then I've got two others coming up. The problem you're encountering here is repeating groups are repeating, because if I have hours of employees worked on the project each time they worked on it, that means I want employees to be able to work on a project multiple times, so I've got repeating groups going on there. Yeah.
So each time they work on a project, that would be a week entry?
That would be an entry, yeah. So, and you can't put it on the project table, because then how many entries do you have? So what's the second table going to be? The project table. What's going to be on that? And what else?
Project name.
Yeah. And next?
Manager.
And the primary key is going to be the project ID. So that's the second table that you have.
Would that also have to include the employee ID, though?
No.
Indicate who did what project?
No, because this is about the project. Think about the donation one we looked at a few minutes ago. This is like the drive. This is the project itself.
Okay.
I mean, now you can have other things on it, but I just gave you three things. It could have the budget for the project. It could have all of those kinds of things. It could have the start time and the end time for the project. It can have lots of information about the project. But then I get to the working on the project. So this is working on the project, whatever I want to call it. Okay? So here is where I'm going to tie everything together. So what am I going to have on this one?
Project ID.
Project ID. So I'm going to have the project ID, and it doesn't matter which I put first. I'm also going to have the employee ID. Okay, and it doesn't matter which you put in first. Kind of depends on what you're putting first is what you want the sort order to be. So if you might want the employee first, you might want the project first. But anyway, this is the project working on the employee. Now, what is going to be on here to differentiate what when they worked? They're going to work on the project multiple times. So I'm going to have to put on here what?
Like
the date. Okay, so I'm going to put on here the date that the person worked on it, because I need that to make it unique. Because if I just had project ID, employee ID, then I could only have the employee work on the project once. But by putting date in there, I can let the employee work on the project twice. Or three times, or four times. And then what else do I need to have on here?
Hours.
The hours. Okay. So what I end up doing is having the primary key here, and I am saying I've got the project ID, the employee ID, the date, and the hours. So this project had this employee working on it this particular date, and these are the hours that they worked. Okay? So, presuming you keep a time card for every day, or it might have a weekly time card, depending on how you're keeping it, and you just turn in at the end of the week. But then you would have the week of, would be the date, and you put in the hours you put in for the week. Or if you're doing it on a daily basis, you put in the hours you did on the day. Okay? But either way, the date is going to, I can put in one for this week, one for next week, one for the following week. I can have every week accounted for. Or if it's daily, I can have every day accounted for. And those are the hours you put in. So, you know, if you're working at a company where you've got a lot of government contracts or you've got a lot of other contracts, you need to keep track of the employee hours that are put in on that contract.
Per week or just in general?
In this one I said per week, but you could do it per day. Could it have been different and put in the hours as a growing thing where you just add to the hours? Yeah, but I think most companies want more date information, because they've got to account to the client. And so most of them, I think, want to know it was either this week, the week hours or the day hours. They don't want just how many hours total. Okay. I've had grants from here at the college, and I have to put in my hours that I've spent, and they allowed it to come in, well, actually somewhere on a daily basis, somewhere on a weekly basis. That was the hardest part of the grant, was keeping track of when I worked on it.
For the PK, is that just the first, is that by default just the first field that we make, or do we have to define?
No, all three of those are the primary key.
How do you add an additional primary key?
Add an additional field to it? Then you could have to go take this primary key out and put another one in. I don't think you can alter the primary key. So I think you would... But are you talking about a different person or a different field? Let's go back and look at the... If we go into... This multiple tables. Okay, so bring up multiple tables. Okay. So this is the donor, the donation, and the drive. So these are the ones we looked at a few minutes ago, and these are very, very similar to this one. Here's the information about the donor. Here's the information about the donation. Okay? And the donation is similar to the hours work that we're talking on here. And then we have the drive, which is down there, and that's the information about the drive. So if I had multiple tables, and then we should also look at keys, I guess. When I had multiple tables and I wanted to get information from both, I can come in here and say, I want to use all three tables, and here's my links between the tables. Okay, so what I was doing was the donation there, but if you're taking and saying, okay, I'm going to think of donor as employee and drive as project, okay, and those two go together, okay. So I've got the donor is the employee and the drive is the project, okay, and then the third table is the linking between these. So the donation.
Oh, so the third table we don't actually manually make. It just is the combination of the two.
No, you make it. You set it up. Donation is the, I think I called it working project or something like that. So those are basically the same if you look at the logic of them. No, you actually make them because you set them up and then somebody adds information to them. So if I have those three tables, I have my links between them, which is the ID to the ID and the drive number to the drive number. So up here, I'm linking the donor ID to the donor ID and the drive ID to the drive ID in the two different tables.
Right, so in this example, I see that there's two tables, the drive and the donation. So then, what's the third one then?
The donor. The person who gave the donation. The drive they gave it to. So those are the tables and how they can link together once I get them done. And notice that I put on here table name dot field name when I'm doing my linking. I have table name dot field name to do the linking between them once I've laid out the three tables. And if you go back to the one that says keys and indexes, okay, I made a table and then I came down and added in the key. Where did I add the primary key? Okay, there's where I added the primary key. So I said, once I've got the table made, I went in and said, alter the table and add a primary key or an ID number. So that gave me the primary key when it was just one field. Okay, a little bit further down, here's my making a three-part primary key. So I got the table structure set up, and my table structure was I was going to have an ID number, a drive number, a contribution date, and a contribution amount. And then I wanted those first three to be my key. So these three are my key. So I said, all to the table, three pot key, add a primary key to it. And I listed the fields that would be part of the primary key. The ID number, the drive number, and the contribution date. And so those three together, are the key. Because none of them individually is going to be unique, okay? The ID number of the donor or employee, depending on which you're looking at, combined with the drive number or project number, combined with the date, okay? So in this one, going to the other table, we'd be using employee number or employee ID, I think I called it. Anyway, one or the other. I'd be using employee ID, project ID, and the date that it was done on. So that would be employee ID, project ID, and the date it was done on. Okay. So those together are the key, because individually they don't give me the right to put in another record with that. I couldn't put in two records with the same ID number. I can't put in two records with the same employee ID or the same project ID. So I need to combine them and say, on this date, this employee worked on this project. And then tell how many hours is my data. So on this date, this employee worked on this project for such and such number of hours. Or looking at the donation, on this date, this employee, this date, this donor contributed such and such amount of money to this drive. So it relates to the donor, the drive, and the date that they contributed. And notice it comes up and it puts a primary key on all three of them, which can be deceiving because it's not either one, it's all three together. It's together they make the primary key. Okay.
Questions? Okay, look at the examples under for doing your work. Get connected to the data and display the information from the database in two different ways. We really didn't get into the two different ways, so go ahead and just display information from the database. And you can figure out. One of them you can have display column 1 and 2, and the other one you can display column 1 and 3 or something like that, because there's more complexity to it. But I still want you to get connected to the database and manipulate it, which is what I'm basically asking you to do. So I want you to get connected and do something. Okay? You've set up a database, you've got a database tables, you've set up a bunch of tables, so I want you to link in and display information from those tables. Okay, just to prove you can do the linking. We didn't get as far as I wanted to, so we will finish up first Connect group and do second Connect group on Tuesday, and probably go into third Connect group, because those two are fairly fast, actually. Okay? So feel free to look at the second Connect group if you have a chance this weekend, but definitely try to do that. Even if you're not caught up, skip ahead and do that, because I want you to make sure that you're making the connection all right, and you can do something inside a program. Okay, so you're going to look at the examples in Connect 1 if you want something. Okay. Because I was going to get into that, and with 4 minutes to go, it doesn't really seem worthwhile. So we will stop.